WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV, Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken Not Hottie. This is Christopher Daniels. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are too.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm going to break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell what the game is playing.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on RackRadioShow.com, WildTalkRadio.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you get a quick second and you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, you can use it here for free. All you have to do is click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can subscribe for free for 30 days. Really, seriously, I'm not kidding. It is that simple. If you want to follow the channel, you also just hit that button as well. But if you want to hang out and chat, we are happy to have you any way we can get you. I am your host, Lindsay Ward. Joining me, as always, is the ever-faithful producer slash co-host slash handyman, Sir Rockin.
We're here. We're live. We're talking all things AEW Dynamite tonight.
What?
April Fools.
I was going to say, I can fake it. Because I didn't watch it.
Neither have I. Tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show, at Lynn's Award. Come to WildTalkRadio.com, Rock Radio Show, or directly here at twitch.tv/WTRLive to interact with us, because we're going to be here a minute.
Yeah, so this is going to be a very long show because tonight we are doing news and we are previewing NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver Night 1 and Night 2 because people on the internet wanted every event for WrestleMania split into two nights. And so now, because of that, we have to do 20 shows because Stand and Deliver has two nights. WrestleMania has two nights. I'm surprised the Hall of Fame doesn't have two nights. They're doing 2 years worth of people. They might as well.
Well, they limit it. They're limiting the Hall of Fame.
To what?
5 minute speeches.
No!
Yeah.
Oh, damn it. So Glenn only got a 5 minute speech?
Apparently.
That's some shit.
Because the Bellas had 15 minutes prepared and they were told 3 to 5 minutes.
So basically, you get up there, thanks, and you leave.
Pretty much.
Okay, I'm just going to say this right now. If y'all do that when Mark Calaway goes in, we're going to have problems.
That probably won't happen then.
I want the roast of Mark Calaway.
You probably will get it. He'll get the full Hall of Fame treatment. This year is different.
Poor Glenn. We love you anyway, Glenn. You and your 5 minute speech.
Let's start there with the news presented by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211, because there's some Hall of Famers that have been announced.
There have. So, last minute Hall of Famers, because they did tape it this week. were announced. The rumors were true, because he was speculated for like 2 weeks. Rob Van Dam is in fact headed into the WWE Hall of Fame as the class of 2021, so congratulations to him.
I like that Heyman on Friday, was it? Put out a picture. You'll never guess whose Hall of Fame intro video I was just doing. And he's doing the points.
Yeah, I like how Sabu dropped it too.
Yeah.
Like, Sabu's just like, oh yeah, I'm inducting RVD in the Hall of Fame. And everybody's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And then WWE waited a full damn week to announce it.
Well, because they couldn't, they had others they had to get to announce first.
I know, but it was just like, you might as well.
Yeah,
you
well.
Might as well.
They waited until Monday. They gave Kane a week, a few days.
Yeah, anyway. They did give Glenn his moment in the sun. So
well, not really. Poor Kali. Kali was announced, and then an hour later, they announced Glenn.
Yeah, with Taker.
Yeah. So it's like, Kali got overshadowed just a tiny bit.
Yeah.
Which, when you think about it, it's really hard to overshadow the great Kali.
Yeah, he's kind of big.
He's a big, big man.
He's a little thick.
Thick. He's just tall.
No, he's thick. He's thick.
He's thick, but he's not thick.
He's proportionate in height and width. How about that? Anyway, William Shatner was announced as he heads into the celebrity wing of the WWE Hall of Fame. So congratulations to him. He was a last minute announcement. He came out yesterday. Monday.
From what I hear, he may be like on video, I think.
Yeah, I don't think they had time to bring him in for the induction because it was so late on the announcement. So they probably filmed something with him.
Him and Jushin Thunder Liger did not make the tapings.
Well, that's fine. I mean, it's still a pandemic, and I think it was very much the people that can get there, they are happy to have them, but if they have to pre-tape anything with anybody, they will absolutely do that. Mm-hmm. And because, again, there's no fans at the Hall of Fame. It's just family and talent. So it's a very limited audience in terms of who's going to be there. So if any year is the year to pre-tape something, this would be the year. But I think as many people that were announced did try to make it as they possibly could.
Because we haven't seen any pictures from the 2021 class yet, but the 2020 class, the only person missing was Liger.
But he doesn't live in here in the States.
No, he doesn't live in the States, though.
So yeah, so that's a long trip for him. That's mm-hmm. a hard trip for him. So yeah, I can see why he wouldn't come. Because they all probably like taped it and then like went home.
It depends. It all depends.
I mean, some people may have wanted a vacation in Orlando. Who knows?
I mean, a lot of them live like... Hogan and Nash already live here in Florida, so.
Yeah, but I mean, there's some other ones that, like Glenn, he had to get back because, you know, he has mayor things he has to do.
Well, he's the mayor, yeah. So he came in today, I believe.
Did the thing and left.
Probably.
And also one last note on the Hall of Fame really quickly. Titus O'Neil, who is also one of the hosts of WrestleMania, will be given the Warrior Award for 2020 in recognition of all of his charity and hard work and role model
For everything he does, especially in the Tampa area. That's why he was given the award. So that's like, so he was supposed to get it last year, which was never announced because the pandemic hit, probably when they were going to get to his announcement in those coming weeks.
Yeah.
So he's been the Warrior Award winner for a year already, even though he may have known or not known. I don't know how that all is, but he's part of the 2020 class.
Yeah. I was going to say role modeling, and I was like, that's not right.
There is no 2021 or recipient this year?
Given...
I'm just doing the numbers, and that's how it's going.
Unless they haven't announced it yet, or we're going to find out the day of the Hall of Fame who the 2021 one is, it makes sense that they're only doing one, given what they typically award it for, mm-hmm. versus I think what it was intended to be awarded as, which the fact that they award it to people who have overcome horrific diseases or are championing causes in their area and making a difference in their area absolutely is deserved. It's something that it makes sense that they're only doing one.
Right. There was a lot of conversation when this whole came out. Why wasn't Chad Gaspar given the Warrior Award? It was because this was decided for 2020 already, and it, yeah. Anyway, that's the reason.
They could give it to him for 2021.
They could, or 2022, but since Titus already had it for that year, they weren't going to do it. And it's weird when death is always weird and trying to do things.
Yeah, it's a tricky situation all the way around with it, so we'll see how it progresses in the next week. If any more announcements come out, because typically they do announce the Warrior Award, but it's like the last thing that gets announced before the Hall of Fame. So they could say something this coming Monday about the 2021 recipient.
They could.
And who it is.
They could. And you can check it out Tuesday on Peacock.
Ding!
One other Peacock note. It's not on our sheet, but I'll mention it now, and I'll mention it again later. NXT TakeOver will be on the USA Network and Peacock for Night 1.
There you go.
So Night 1 and Night 2 will be both on Peacock, but they're going to test, like, streaming it live on Peacock. So that's cool.
Yeah, that is cool. So good for them. Speaking of NXT, the big news, I think some of us have been anticipating it. We've been waiting for it because some people have been in the know about it. But it was obviously people were waiting for it to be a done deal in terms of the NHL. And it is this, that NXT is moving to Tuesday nights. A new multi-year deal has been announced for them. USA is very happy with what they're doing. They're moving them off of Wednesdays, which has been their home since they debuted on USA. And before that. When they were on the network only. And so USA is moving them over to Tuesdays to make room for the NHL deal, which is probably going to be announced here very shortly. And they're basically doing it because they don't want to have to preempt NXT all the time during the regular NHL season and playoffs and everything like that. So they're just like, we're just going to move you.
Yeah, and that's because the NBC Sports Network is going to be no more in the fall, so they have to move the new television home, which is going to be the USA Network. All right, get it out of the way, everyone. Yay! Woo, they won the war! Which, they're really doing great numbers.
You feel better?
They've really got some great audience. They've made some great gains this week.
You feel better?
Christian's big debut, and the number was great. Wasn't great. We'll see what happens. You better get your consistent million people now, starting in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that'll be interesting, because one thing to note that between NXT and AEW was that there's usually about 1.2 to 1.3 million people
who watch, if not more,
but it kind of averages, I think, around to about 1.3, 1.2.
I think it's 1.4, 1.5.
I don't know. Anyway.
Well, 7 and 7, so we'll get 1.4, 1.5.
Yeah, so 1.4, 1.5, somewhere in there. Anyway, so it will be interesting to see what happens now that one show's on one day and one show's on another day. If they both hold that 1.4 to 1.5 audience, or if they bottom out to what they were doing prior.
I expect less people will be watching wrestling on Wednesdays and Tuesdays. I don't expect that AEW to get 1.4. I don't expect NXT to get 1.4. 850 to 900 sounds about right.
Yeah, I mean, NXT was doing, I think, in the 7s and the 8s to sometimes in the 9s before AEW debuted. So I would expect them to potentially be there again, because they've been kind of consistently in the 7s and 8s. They've had some dips down into the 6s, but they've been in the 7s and the 8s pretty consistently.
Both, depending on the week, it's been 650 to 750 for NXT in the last, I would say, 3 months. AEW's sort of been 7 to 850. Sans a couple outliers where they're in the high 9s for big shows.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see. But it's good news all the way around. It's spreading wrestling out more, which I like. Because now if you want to watch both shows, it's easier for everybody who want to watch both.
Yeah, I get to watch AEW live now. Woo, more wrestling.
I like it because if I miss anything on NXT, I don't have to rush to watch it on a Thursday. I can watch it. Because, you know, we preview it on this show, or we review it on this show. I can watch it on a Wednesday, and then I still have time to see it.
Yeah.
So I like that they're spreading it out more, that we get one more day in between NXT and this show to watch it. But the debut will be on USA Network post-WrestleMania, I think the week after Mania.
Yeah, it starts on the 12th. So this week is the last. Actually, this week was the last official NXT show. Next week is TakeOver, so.
Yep.
You go from there.
So, all right. And speaking of moves and announcements, everything like that, Charlie Caruso, aka Arnaud, has officially left WWE. And this has been in the works for a while now. People have been whispering about it. There was no confirmation, no nothing. But she has officially left WWE for a full-time job at ESPN. So congratulations to her.
Oh my God, she has all this heat. No, she just got a new job. Her contract came up and she went full-time. with ESPN. She's been doing a lot more First Take. She has a podcast over there. She'll be on SportsCenter and other programming, Sports Nation, more often now with the full-time gig.
Yeah, I mean, she kind of did what Renee Young did. She used ESPN, or I'm sorry, she used WWE as a stepping stone to her next part of her career. She, according to her, left WWE on good terms. There's no heat, there's no nothing, but like you said, the contract just came up, she wasn't interested in re-signing it, and so she moved on to bigger and better things. ESPN just offered her a better deal. There's nothing wrong with that, so go Charlie, go!
Yeah.
Kick butt, continue to kick butt, we love you. And I'm sure if she ever decided she wanted to come back to WWE, they would be happy to have her.
Yeah, she was great at her job, and now she's headed to ESPN full-time, that's so... Good luck, Charlie Caruso, good luck.
Good luck, we will miss you. Ding. DraftKings. This is an interesting move. I'm not sure how I feel about this, but DraftKings has signed on as the official gaming partner of WWE.
You can do fantasy betting on WWE through DraftKings.
Please God, nobody tell Tim the Tatman.
I mean,
nobody.
Yeah.
I mean, can the Tim curse work on predetermined outcomes? I kind of want to find out.
I don't know, but yeah, so they're the official partner with WWE, and say the first ever free-to-play gaming partner. So it's not going to, I don't think they're going to put real money, maybe? There could be real money games on here, but right now it might just be free-to-play games.
Which I'm okay with. I don't necessarily want people betting on wrestling. Like, I feel like this...
I mean, it's been an unspoken thing for years. You can go online and bet on wrestling.
I know you can, but it feels like kind of silly to bet on wrestling. It's like, really?
I mean, if you really? If you really know the outcomes and you have the money, you could make a lot of money on betting on wrestling until WWE screws you over and changes the outcomes. That's why those odds change really quick, is because people in the company who know put money down and boom, the odds change. That's been a thing for years. Whenever they say, oh, hey, look at this, the odds have just swung in someone else's favor. It's like, yep, people in the know just went and bet it overseas. Or they told someone to bet it overseas and, hey, look at that. Odds have changed.
Yeah, interesting how that works. It also be noted that speaking of like gaming and third party opportunities, there's a really kind of unique update to that in that WWE is actually very quietly forming their own talent agent.
See?
Sort of.
Yep, they've hired like 7 people to run the department.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting how they're doing that, and they're doing it really under the radar. Like I remember. I saw the job postings for that, and I was like, huh, that's really, really interesting. So they're going to be managing the third-party opportunities. I believe they're also going to be helping with the gaming channels and that kind of thing. So it's what it seems like and what it feels like is that WWE is essentially starting their own gaming org.
Or, I wouldn't say gaming, I would say third-party or opportunity organization.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be more than gaming.
It's going to be more than gaming. I mean, I will say this. I still say it kind of sucks how they did the Twitch stuff and how they handled all of that. But for the third party opportunities, I understand why they wanted to bring that under control, because you had people taking all these different products and advertising them on their Instagram. And naturally, you know, if the product is crap, it's getting attached to, you know, somebody's name, and it's getting attached to WWE, and then there's all kinds of problems. So I get in that instance why they had to bring it under control, but very, very interesting.
Yep.
So, moving on. So SmackDown, mm-hmm. before WrestleMania,
mm-hmm.
not a go home.
Nope.
It's going to be a pre-show, y'all. You thought you could get away from getting a pre-show in WrestleMania because there is the official WrestleMania pre-show, which will be on night one and night two, but now there is a pre-show to the pre-show. It's called SmackDown. It will be on Friday night, 8 p.m. Eat. Check your local listings.
For time and availability. So what it is, WWE announced the official WrestleMania edition of SmackDown, which will feature the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal with 22 men, and a Fatal 4-Way SmackDown Tag Team Championship featuring the Dirty Dogs, the Street Profits, the Mysterios, and... the Alpha Academy.
It'll be interesting to see how these two turn out. I would suspect that they're going to potentially play a part in WrestleMania, but obviously these are two matches that either did not fit on the show,
mm-hmm.
despite it being two nights, or they're like, hey, we need something for SmackDown, so we're going to put this together. Because typically the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal does go on WrestleMania, usually on the pre-show, so the fact that it's not there this year is an indication that they probably just didn't have room.
No. So remember the story that came out? And this, I got confirmation on this. So the story that came out earlier in the week was they want to save the big first entrance in front of a live crowd for the first match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So what was going to be on the kickoff on night one?
The Battle Royal.
And the Fatal 4-Way?
Well, I mean, you know, now they don't have room.
So
they want to put the first match.
So they took them off the kickoff and moved them to SmackDown so they can do the first live thing in front of the crowd. As of now, that is what the deal was. Everything could change and they could still have a kickoff match on night one, but right now this is the plan.
You know what? I'm fine with it being on SmackDown. You want to know why? Because that means that, like, I can screw around for another, like, hour to half hour before WrestleMania, where I don't have to watch the pre-show.
Which means, guys, next Friday, live at 10 p.m. Eastern, we get to recap what happened on SmackDown, including these two matches.
Ding!
Before we even preview WrestleMania. We get to recap WrestleMania matches.
We get to be live Monday, Wednesday.
No,
Wednesday.
No, Monday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
I thought it was more than that, but okay, all right, yeah. That's our schedule.
That's our schedule. So we're Monday for the Raw post show at 11 p.m. Eastern. We are live Thursday because you didn't want to do it after night one. So we're doing both nights on Thursday as the review of NXT TakeOver. We're previewing WrestleMania on Friday. It's Friday. And then we're live to review WrestleMania Night 1 on that Saturday. And the Night 2 review will be live the following Thursday.
There you go. There's the schedule, guys.
Plus, thrown in, there's a Miz and Mrs. on the 12th.
Yeah. So, programming note, that's the other thing. There is Miz and Mrs. coming. The first episode of the return of Season 2 is next week. So, that will be dropping for you. We've got that all ready to go.
That'll be on the 12th.
The wonderful people at NBC sent us screeners, and we love you for that. Thank you very much.
So
very helpful.
So once the Raw post show ends every Monday for like 5 to 6 weeks, you will get a rack extra reviews on Mondays.
Yeah. As she was in NXT and she was on Raw, she was the main Raw commentator.
Backstage announcer,
excuse me, before she left. But she started in NXT and she's kind of worked her way up.
So there's all the programming note. Which more programming notes? There's no Fortnite tonight. I mentioned that Sunday, but there's no Fortnite tonight. There will be Fortnite Saturday, and then you won't have Fortnite live until
after WrestleMania.
Probably the 17th.
Yeah, because next week we are not going to be able to play Fortnite live. So
there's no not next week or the week after. So on the 17th, Fortnite with Friends returns after this Saturday. I think that's all the programming notes for now. You can also check out the book reviews that we put out. We've been giving you content.
We've been busy.
We've been busy.
We've been very, very busy.
But with that, I'd say we do the injury roundup.
Let's do it.
Bones breaking. Backs cracking. Shoulder snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
This is sad for me because I have a friend who went to go see him at a show here in Georgia.
She was so disappointed.
She was so upset about this. Eric Young, a torn ACL.
Hashtag blame Brent.
He's out 6 to 9 months. He hopes to be back in 6. So it happened at the last Impact TV tapings after he wrestled James Storm in his 1,000th match that happened this past Tuesday on Impact. They found Chris Harris, by the way.
I think he lives in Florida.
But they don't tape in Florida. They tape in Nashville.
I know, but what I'm saying is I think he lives in Florida.
Okay, anyway, they found Chris Harris. They reunited AMW.
Which feels right in the feels.
Yeah.
It made me so happy that they reunited AMW because I had this thought. I realized that, like, for the more modern fans that didn't see Impact back in the day, like, way back in the day, they have no idea who AMW are.
No.
Or the just amazingness that was AMW. And I feel old saying that, but yeah. So it made me really, really happy that they did that nod to them and had that moment because, dude, when AMW was in their prime, they were badass.
They were.
And then Brayden Walker showed up and everything went to hell.
Brayden Walker. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Brayden Walker.
Brayden Walker, the 3-disc DVD set.
Oh, Lord. All right, what do you want to do now?
Well, I don't see our NXT commentator, so I guess we have to do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I
used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
I mean, are you right here, Brent? Are you? Are you sure? I mean, are you physically here with us? It's like I can almost hear his voice.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Rebby Hardy, March 31st, 2020. Day 14 of quarantine. Guess I'll just get pregnant. Rebby Hardy, March 26th, 2021. This aged well. Grimacing face. Adam Cole. This is a tale of two people, by the way. Mm-hmm. Or technically three. Adam Cole. If you love me, you love me. If you hate me, you hate me. I know where I stand. Always. Cesaro. Sends a picture of always with a little heart above the S. Adam Cole responds, forever, with a shade smiley face, hashtag departee. Pat McAfee. So that's the love. Pat McAfee. I hate you. Adam Cole. Eat me.
Okay.
Cesaro. I'll be swinging by WrestleMania. Challenge accepted. Much love to the Cesaro section for your continued support. As always. And it's a picture of Seth and Cesaro when Seth made the challenge.
Okay.
FaZe Clan. It's like FaZe Sway is playing a whole different game than the rest of us, and it's them showing his edits in Fortnite, which are mind-meltingly fast. Like, it's kind of disgusting, and this is the reason why I hate Fortnite right now. And Tom Crabtree responds, not impressed. I can do that on my Switch with motion-enabled Joy-Cons duct taped to my feet.
Nice.
Mrs. Indie Wrestling Loomis. I just received word that I was number 51 in the women's WWE 50 Greatest Women. WWE NXT. How did the dog get into the CWC? And it's a picture of the adorable Pomeranian running around the CWC. Shawn Michaels. I, too, would like this information. Karrion Kross. Had a conversation with London Fu recently, and we'd like to clarify something to set the record straight. There is nothing unusual about doing sprint cardio outside at night, chasing cars, or breathing really loudly to Psycho Sid's theme music. It's completely fine. Mrs. Indie Wrestling Loomis. She posted a picture from Instagram of a notification where she put a picture of herself doing an elbow in her match from last night's NXT. And it is a response from one Dexter Loomis, where he commented, nice elbow. And she posts a whole bunch of faces without mouth. Viper Piper Niven responds, girl! And it's a heart, eyes, a smiley face with the Lady and the Tramp gif of them kissing with the spaghetti.
Nice.
Ding dong, the wedding bells are going to chime. She got his attention. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but...
We'll find out.
That's all I have.
All right, this is going to be really quick. Gathalion. You go to a barbecue restaurant and they have a three meat platter. What three meats are you getting? For me, it's burnt ends, spare ribs, and jalapeno sausage. Dr. Lupo. My three go-to meats would be sausage, burnt ends, and darkness 429.
I knew that was coming.
Gathalion. He can make all three of those for you. And that's all I got.
Oh my god, Jen just posted a picture of her Kappa case and it's full of six horses.
Nice. Let's go to break.
Let's go to break. So we're going to go grab the intern. And when we come back, we are going to be previewing NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver Night 1 and Night 2. So everybody, go get you something to drink. Go get you a snack. Go take care of whatever you need to take care of, because this is going to be a long preview. There's a lot to talk about. We're going to try to condense it as much as we can, but we will be here quite a while.
We'll be here for the next 90 minutes.
Yeah, it could take that long. So you'll see, so like I said, get a snack, get something to drink, go take care of things. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WallTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Great and Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Bang! Event.
CB Radio. Saturday night. Midnight-ish Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Mondays. Once Monday Night Raw ends, join us for the Monday Night Raw post show.
Today I have something super serious to talk to you about.
Join us as we break down all the highs, the lows, and all the holy f*** moments that go down every single Monday night.
Exercise!
It's the Raw post show, Monday nights 11 p.m. Eastern.
Do I have your attention now?
Streaming live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Hey y'all, you want to get social with the Rack? Follow us on Instagram. Instagram.com/RackRadioShow. Every week, we jump into the world of
awesome!
With the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs.
This one had to go out and buy all the toys. She lifted my foot up, stuffed it straight up my ass, and said, I don't care. Kid gets toys.
Yeah, check out the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. available weekly at wildtalkradio.com and rackradioshow.com.
Did you know you can use support a creator code Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop? That's RockNSOCK in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
Burn it down! This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out, youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over on wildtalkradio.com, rackradioshow.com, or directly on Twitch, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. If you're on Twitch and you happen to have a Prime Gaming sub available, well, all you have to do is click the little purple button down at the bottom of the screen, and you can, in fact, use that free subscription here for 30 days. It really is just a simple two-click process. It's pretty awesome. You can also follow the channel there, or if you just want to hang out and chat, that's fine too. So I hope everybody took care of everything, because if you're listening live, you are in for a long ride. If you're listening to this on the podcast, well, you have the benefit of pause, so go you. We are going to do our NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver Night 1 and Night 2 preview, which will be airing this coming week, WrestleMania week, Wednesday and Thursday. I'm sorry. I will get my days right eventually. And joining us to help us, we have a special guest.
From the Super Kick Party, the elite assistant to the assistant regional NXT analyst, the intern Kane Kittens.
Wrong company.
It's the only one I can probably still play that isn't fully copyrighted.
That's true. Well, can't play Among Us.
I mean, I could use Among Us. Yeah, that's the problem. Can't do Baby Shark anymore though.
And,
Because, you know.
That was my jam.
It was the jam. To correct Lindsay, Stanley
Yeah, I was
going to
say, wait, no, it's at CWC, right?
It's at CWC in Orlando.
I'm used to it always being there together, so sorry, my bad.
Yeah, so Orlando is the site of Stand and Deliver 2021, which will be airing live on the USA Network for Night 1 and on Peacock, and exclusively on Peacock for Night 2. If you go to peacocktv.com/WWE, you can sign up now and get 4 months of Peacock for $9.99, which was the price of 1 month of the WWE Network.
Ding!
Woo! Hopefully it doesn't get taken down.
Anyway, we are going to be doing this in order of Night 1 and Night 2. Mercifully, WWE has not loaded up the nights with a bunch of stuff. We have a nice, healthy grouping of matches, but they haven't, like, overloaded
the card, which
is nice.
10 matches, the most ever on a TakeOver. But
I was going to say, we technically have 2 full TakeOvers here.
Yeah, it's 5 and 5, which I'm very happy about. Because this will make previewing so much easier. Make watching it easier, too. But, you know, for previews, I hate when we look at preview and there's like 10 matches for WrestleMania on one night and 10 matches on the other night. And you're like, well, crap.
It's only going to be 5 total hours of wrestling for this, I bet.
Probably.
2.5 hours per day.
Well, since it's airing on USA.
That might be a little shorter.
I think it's going to be the 2 hours with. They get a little bit of an overrun, so like 2:10 on Wednesday, and we'll see if they get like an overrun on Thursdays.
Thursday will be fine.
Thursday's just on the network,
so. Yeah, so they can go over then.
They can do however long they want.
Which is probably good considering what's on night 2. But let's jump into it. Night 1, Stand and Deliver. This is a brand new match that just got announced last night on NXT. It is a result of these two individuals being taken out of the North American Championship match, or I should say Eliminator match, where they took each other out. It seems that, well, they have found something for Pete Dunne and Kushida to do, and it would be each other.
Crazy.
It would be. For the record, it's scheduled to go 10:05 next week.
Gotcha.
There you go. So 5 minute run.
It's hard to preview this one a little bit just because it was announced yesterday.
There's real no story to it.
No, it's just two guys are going to beat the hell out of each other.
We're here for it.
Pretty much. So, we're here for two awesome wrestlers just going at it for 10 minutes. I'm cool.
The winner of the night is going to be the training room between Pete's joint manipulation and Kushida doing 14 different versions of like an arm bar or a knee bar. The trainer's going to have a lot of work after this match.
Well, yeah, that's sort of a thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of one of those things where it's a crying shame to have Pete Dunne and Kushida here in the United States and they're not on your show. So they made sure they got them on the show.
Like, I was really surprised that neither one, like, out of the people in the next match we're about to talk about, that those two didn't make it. It was like, wait, did they? I told Lindsay, I was like, we were watching, I was like, wait, did they really just get eliminated? She was like, yeah.
Yeah, that happened.
That did in fact happen. But if they're not going, neither one's going to win the title, it makes no sense to put them in the match. So, yeah.
Yeah, it gives them something to do and it doesn't turn them into, you know, just eliminations in the Eliminator.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, so let's go around the horn. Who you got? Lindsay.
Oh, shoot.
we told you last night this one's going to be really quick, right?
No, I knew this one was going to be quick. I forgot the picked part. Hang on.
We stalled for like 30 minutes before this, Brent.
I just got home before.
All right, who you got, Lindsay?
Okay,
God. Down. You're good? Okay. I'm going to say Pete, but I mean, it's like it could go either way, but I'm going to say Pete.
I'm going Pete, Brent.
Yeah. I feel like Kushida needs a win because even though he had that great match with Johnny, you know, in the build up to the match, he had a bunch of wins, but it's like Kushida still needs that one big
moment.
But with this, I mean, they're building Pete up for something. They're building him up. He was the longest reigning, well, before Walter, the longest reigning NXT UK champion. He dropped the belt. He came over. He had the tag run, and then he got the, gonna go Pete.
There you go. Long-winded for one word, Pete. Magic 8-Ball, will Pete Dunne beat Kushida on Wednesday? Most likely, says the 8-Ball. Magical Wheel of Fun, who wins?
Option 1.
So that would be Pete.
Brent, the answer that you're looking for is that they're keeping Pete warm for whoever the next NXT champion is, or they're keeping him warm for Finn.
And they're also calling him the best technical wrestler in WWE.
Which, honestly, they could do Pete Dunne versus Timothy Thatcher.
All right. Let's go to the gauntlet next.
That would be a whooping. Alright, so, 6-man eliminator gauntlet match to determine who gets a shot at Johnny Gargano, and his North American championship on night 2 of Stand and Deliver. Unfortunately, Austin Theory is not in this, which makes me really sad. But you have Leon Ruff taking on Isaiah Scott, taking on Bronson Reed, taking on Cameron Grimes, taking on Dexter Lewis, that won't cause trouble, taking on LA Knight.
So last night on NXT, Cameron was trying to pay off Dexter and LA Knight so he could be the last one in the gauntlet. I believe LA Knight won the Battle Royal, so he's the last man to enter the eliminator.
Yes.
But Cameron tries paying them off. They're like, nope.
No. To be fair, in the moment, LA Knight was willing to take it because he's like, it's a lot of money. And he's telling that to Dexter. Dexter just looks and then Kane chops him right under the chin and the money goes flying. Yeah, with the best response being Wade Barrett going, I just made $3,000. God damn it, Wade. Why are you entertaining?
Because he is,
because
and that's
why we love him. It's Bad News Barrett. He's always been entertaining since day one.
I know. But last night ruined a theory I had.
What was your theory?
I had a whole scenario of Austin would dump Dexter Lumis to win, like out of sheer luck. And then when they talked about the finger poke of doom last night, I was going to have Austin be so stupid that when they had the match on night 2, Austin went to poke Johnny, and Johnny would be like, what the hell are you doing?
Oh, my favorite part of that was Johnny brings up, you know, that, remember the finger poke of doom killed the business. And then Austin's like, did it? We're still here.
We're here.
And Johnny's like thinking, all right, the business is still alive. It actually didn't kill the business. It just killed WCW.
It got better. The business got better. That's what happened. So.
All right, let's eliminate people in the eliminator. I don't think they're not winning.
The first two are out.
I think they're going to take each other out, similarly to what they tried to do last night.
Leon
Ruff attacked Isaiah Scott.
Well, they can't because it's matches. No, it's singles matches, right?
I think it's every 3 minutes someone enters.
Oh, it's every 3 minutes. Oh,
yeah, it's a...
Okay, it's like that. Okay.
What I'm saying is they're going to take each other out because they're going to feud with each other after this. So those two are already matched.
Yeah.
Cameron's out.
Is he though?
I don't know.
See, the funny thing is you have a really good case for the other four.
Like, I kind of feel like for LA Knight, he just debuted, so it makes complete sense to move him forward. Cameron, just for the entertainment factor against Johnny and trying to pay off Johnny and the rest of the family, I could see that. Bronson is just a monster and he would give Johnny a challenge. But then there's Dexter. There's the whole feud between Johnny Gargano and Dexter Lumis and Austin Theory and then Mrs. Indie Wrestling Lumis and Candace that just has never really been resolved.
Yeah, all right. So it's 2 men enter. Every 4 minutes, another person enters. Only way to be eliminated is via pinfall or submission. Okay.
Okay, so I could see the final four entering, but I kind of want to see Dexter move on. Just because I want Indy making hard eyes at him the entire time, and Austin making hard eyes at him the entire time, and Johnny just being like, God damn it, help me!
This is going to play into later, but whoever I think wins this Eliminator match is taking the title the next night. Johnny's had the belt for a little while. He doesn't need to hang on to it for a long time. Because if you ever need someone to be a belt warmer, Johnny Gargano can step in. Very able hand. He can do it. But you've got this crop of like this next level talent all waiting in the wings for, you know, a chance or a shot at that belt. And I think LA Knight getting it, let's put it this way. I think 2 people, if they get it, would be insufferable, but in a very good way. If LA or Cameron Grimes get that belt, oh God, the promos and just the sheer annoyance of them having a belt would
see,
do.
If Cameron gets it, I want him to give the title the DiBiase treatment, where he blings it out, right? He makes it his title. But the other side of that is if Cameron doesn't win, he makes his own title. And he has his own title, or fuck, he has the money, he buys the $1 million man's title, and they break that bastard out of the vault, they bring it down to Orlando for him, and they let him walk around with it.
No, I want the GameStop title.
If they could do the GameStop it.
If you do it, you do it all the way.
Because he rode those Diamond Hans to the moon. Use code ROCKETSLINE499 hashtag ad.
By the way, bless you, Epic. You magnificent, glorious bastards. Bless you for today. Whoever did that, they deserve a raise.
Oh, yeah. They had that one waiting for today of all days. They're like, yep, we're going to do this.
But the to the moon. To the moon. I'm like, you fucking trolls. I kind of have to take Bronson out.
See, he's a wild card in this because they really like to push him.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I was going to say, Bronson could win, but I see a different scenario in terms of Bronson in that LA Knight still, I mean, the feud with Bronson Reed and LA Knight does not even seem like it's, you know, close to being done.
No, it's just starting to cook.
Because Bronson got the win.
Mm-hmm.
So just picture if LA Knight comes in last, uses his guile to win, and then somehow beats Johnny Gargano for that belt. Reed's going to be sitting there the whole time going, that's great. I still beat you, and I'm coming for that.
Because I feel like what's going to happen with Bronson is that because there are going to be multiple people in the ring at one time, that they're going to do what they always do in multi-man situations with the big dude. They're going to team up on him, and they're going to get rid of him.
Like three people in on the pin kind of thing?
Yeah, where they all hit their finishes on him, somebody pins him, and they get him out of the match. And that's how you, and then it's like you have him feud with LA Knight potentially hit the final finisher, hitting the pin, so that way that feud continues after the match, and then they're good to go. Because you can always point Bronson at a title, but I just feel like they're just starting to get momentum behind him, and it almost feels a little bit too soon. Like, I don't mean that to be, like, condescending or insulting, but I feel like there are other people in this match who have been waiting and who are right there. Like, you could do it for Cameron and you could do it for Dexter, and it would be good to go. And Dexter is more just to give him the blow off with Johnny. But honestly, I would love to see Cameron win that title. Oh my god, the obnoxiousness of it.
Like Cameron,
we've said that
Cameron,
before.
Cameron's the fun one you want to see win it.
Because it would be entertaining as shit.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing. I don't disagree with you on this. It would be.
He doesn't have to hold it long, but he just holds it long enough to be just absolutely obnoxious, and then somebody shows up and knocks the shit out of him and takes the title. Like if he could be for 2 weeks.
You know, if Cameron Grimes wins the belt, the perfect example of the type of champion he would be is like the Honky Tonk Man when he won the Intercontinental title back in the 80s.
Or modern day Santino.
Right, but it's just one of those things like he would hold the belt and you're sitting there and you're like, someone needs to just knock this fucker out.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone comes in and just 30 seconds squash, just annihilates him, takes that belt away. And yeah, it's just that kind of like, oh, yep, that's what we wanted.
And it could be a Roderick Strong. It could be a Bronson Reed. It could be somebody else where you just take that title, but you get it away from Johnny and his family and that whole feud. And you just elevate Cameron with that. Because then once Cameron has that North American title run under his waist, even if it's only for like 2 weeks, he can start poking at Regal. Hey, I want Balor. Like, I've proven I can be a champion in this place. I want Finn Balor. And I have the money, and I have the pull, and I have the sway to get what I want, right? And Regal's like, fuck off. But that kind of thing, and that's how you bring him up. Like, I could see, honestly, between the remaining four, the title moving around between all four of them in the next little while. Because I don't want to see it sit on somebody for a while. I want to see it move.
And the thing I will say, and this plays into, again, like, you know, the next or the ensuing match that comes from this, which we'll talk about for night two. Whoever wins this match, I want to see get the belt, because I want to see what happens with the Way and Johnny when he doesn't have that belt, when he doesn't have that power, and maybe someone else does based on another match. Mm-hmm. You know, what happens if Mrs. Johnny Wrestling has a belt? You know, does the focus of the family change to, we have to protect that now?
Still think it'll always be about Johnny, but yeah.
Right.
Well, then he'll be a co-tag champion with them.
Oh, God, I would love for I want him to be like, so you winning, you know, like, what's yours is mine during this, so therefore, I'm a tag team champion.
I'm a women's tag team champion. I can claim that I'm an NXT women's tag team champion.
To which the response is, so Candice was an NXT North American champion?
No, no.
Well, that's different.
No, that's different. That's totally different. No, that was my belt. This is our belt, though. These are our belts.
Exactly. And just picture that dynamic of all of a sudden Candice just looking at him like, you're an idiot.
I love you, but you're an idiot.
Yeah, like, oh, honey, you have so many Disney trips that you now owe for this.
Get your wallet out, baby. This is going to be painful.
Yeah, it's just, but I mean, just talking about it, it makes you kind of want to see it. It makes, you know, you're going like, okay, I can see a couple of weeks of this being drawn out and how, you know, the crazy family dynamic that happens.
Yeah, completely. But let's get back to this. Stick to here. Who's winning Brent?
I know he just debuted, mm-hmm. but I'm going to go with L.A. Knight to win this, because I think he's just going to do enough to get that belt. And again, I think what happens afterwards is if Knight gets the belt, you have the next feud already lined up with Bronson Reed sitting there waiting.
And just because.
Dummy! Yeah!
There we go.
Lindsay, who you got?
Okay, so I just had to eeny, meeny, miny, moe it. Because I'm stuck between two, and I can't decide, because I feel like LA Knight's a little bit of the obvious choice. I'm not saying that he's not going to win, but I'm saying he's a little bit of the obvious choice. And
thanks.
As much as I want Cameron to win, because it would just be so fucking entertaining, I'm gonna have to say Dexter. I think Dexter's gonna basically pull it out, and he's going to go on to face Johnny.
Wait,
he's gonna do it.
He's gonna do it. He's gonna whip it out. He's gonna break out the whips and the chains and the kink and the take them all to school, man.
Okay.
Just because, again, I want Austin and Indy making hard eyes at him the entire time.
That would be entertaining. And also, I could see for this match, Johnny would not shoo the family away. You'd be like, no, you have to be here.
Because here's the other side of this, is Dexter could manipulate Indy. Like I said in Tweet of the Week, he reached out, he complimented her elbow.
Or Austin.
So, could there be trouble in paradise? We'll have to see, but I'm saying Dexter.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to go Dexter as well, just because part of me thinks Cameron has a chance, but it's like, the end of the story is Dexter, so you would figure they give you the payoff on TakeOver for night two. That's where my brain is. Magic 8-Ball, will Cameron Grimes win on Wednesday? Will LA Knight win on Wednesday, Magic 8-Ball? Very doubtful. Will Leon Ruff win on Wednesday, Magic 8-Ball? Ask him later. Who else is in
there? Bronson Reed.
Will Bronson Reed pull out the win?
Will Isaiah Swerve Scott win this match to go fight for the North American title? Swerve.
There you go. And Magical Wheel of Fun?
Leon Ruff.
Wait, you took away Wrestler 3?
I had to add 6 names in for this one. This was a custom wheel. We have Wrestler 3 on here for the next one. Okay?
Alright. Okay.
This one had to be custom.
Lindsay's favorite wrestler next to Vacant.
Wrestler 3. You have to have Wrestler 3.
We'll get to Wrestler 3. What's our next match?
All right. We've been avoiding it. We need to talk about it. The NXT UK Championship, a.k.a. the murder of Tommaso Ciampa, by one Walter. So Tommaso has been wanting Walter. He wants a challenge. He's used Timothy Thatcher to get that challenge. I have not seen anybody that can take down that big Austrian bastard. I don't think Tommaso's going to be able to do it, as tough and as badass as he is. I think Tommaso's going to die.
So Tommaso, three years ago, probably could have taken down Walter. Old man Tommaso, I don't know.
Like, no, on the NXT roster can take down Walter, but if you're in a Survivor Series match, you get taken out in 30 seconds.
I mean, it's some voodoo that happens on the main roster that just sort of slows down people.
I still can't believe they did that to him. But yeah, I hate doubting Tommaso, because Tommaso, in any other match, would probably be able to pull it out. And I'm not saying he can't here, but Walter is Walter. If you've never seen Walter in action, imagine a steamroller. That's pretty much him. He just mows over everybody because he's just big and strong and thick, and you can't hurt him.
I mean, you can hurt him, but you can't keep him down.
It's very difficult. It's all that strudel.
And we're not talking about the patient. And no, wait.
Maybe we are. You don't know. Wait. Anyway.
Wait a minute.
So, yeah. And basically, Tommaso, this started with Imperium trying to readopt Timothy Thatcher.
Who we have
and
not.
And Thatcher was like, not without my man. We were like, no.
We haven't seen him in a while, though.
We have not seen Timothy Thatcher in a hot minute. And he could help Tommaso, or he could betray Tommaso and rejoin Imperium.
He could, and that's a big thing. It's a big thing that could happen on TakeOvers. Like, what role does Thatcher play? I assume he's been dealing with outside issues, which is why he's not been on television lately. Mm. One assumes, and one doesn't know for sure, but there were outbreaks, so you never know.
I mean, you would hope he wasn't one of the ones impacted, but
he could just be quarantining.
I think he was one of the ones impacted,
or just maybe he didn't get it. Maybe he's just quarantining because, you know, contact tracing and all that
yeah.
stuff.
Well, because there was originally supposed to be the tag match that got adjusted to Tommaso that one week.
Yeah, the COVID. Yeah, I think Walter has a match with a title the next day on NXT UK, I think. Which is weird that they're booking two title matches, but I think he has one on the Prelude.
I don't think... It's got to be pre-taped, then.
Well, yeah, it's already been pre-taped. But it all points on the outcome of this. That's already in the works, so this sort of, like, makes you go, that sort of thing, when it comes to the result of this match. I don't think no one thinks Tommaso's going to win. We all think it's just going to be a really good fight, that Tommaso will just go down swinging, but...
I want this to be a more competitive match than the Karrion Kross match.
Yeah.
Well, that was all about establishing Karrion.
Oh, I know, but I'm wondering if this is a similar thing, because, no offense, as much as we saw him in, like, the Survivor Series, and there was the special with... the kind of worlds collide between UK and NXT, there may be a decent portion of the fan base who hasn't fully seen Walter wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
And so this could be one of those, like, spotlight matches.
But if you're familiar with TakeOver, he's been on TakeOvers before.
I think he's only been on the one, because he's mostly just been UK.
No, he's been on a couple.
I think the only like actual TakeOver that he's had that wasn't a UK brand was the like Worlds Collide.
It was Finn. He came over and he faced Finn.
He was going to.
It was right before the pandemic. He was here. I don't know if he actually did get. He did wrestle on TV, though, I think. He wrestles. Might have been Tommaso. Might have been the one Tommaso match. Or not Tommaso. Shit, that was Karrion. Somebody else. He did wrestle, though. He has wrestled here in the States because he was here
Series. He wrestled Pete on some show.
Yeah, it was him and Pete, I think, for the title right before Survivor Series. I think the night before Survivor Series. But yeah, he hasn't wrestled much here for WWE in the States. He doesn't come here a lot, because he doesn't like it here, I don't think. Which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that.
Sorry, I just pulled up the Internet Wrestling Database win-loss records.
Mm-hmm.
He fought WrestleMania Access. He did fight at TakeOver New York in 2019, which is where he beat Pete Dunne for the title.
Okay, so he's been on TakeOver.
He fought NXT TV October 9th, 2019, when he beat Kushida, and then there was Worlds Collide. Everything else was like a house show.
Okay, but Worlds Collide is basically TakeOver.
Right, but I was just saying that was the big one of, like, when you had the two brands like that, and then he fought Drake Maverick recently in Poor Drake.
Well, he slaughtered Drake in 10 seconds.
I know, but...
But, and they were gearing him up to face Finn, and then
the pandemic hit and they just never went back to it because it's literally a year later. And at this point, they've moved Finn on. They've moved Walter on. They can always go back to it if they need to. And I feel like that's what they're going to maybe do here is use Tommaso as a way to reestablish Walter in the U.S. and then eventually point Walter back at Finn.
Mm-hmm.
To give Finn another really, really big challenger for the title. Because they're not ready to point Karrion back at him just yet. They're not ready to point a couple other people at him yet. So it makes sense that you slowly get Walter ready to go against Finn.
Mm-hmm.
Especially as travel restrictions are lifting and it's easier to have him here and bring him back and forth. Because the thing with him is that you, when you bring him over, you have him for a set amount of time and then he goes back. And then he stays over there for a long time and then he'll come back again. Like, he doesn't want to live here. So they'll bring him over for, I think, like a month or two, and then they'll send him back.
Yeah.
So while they have him, they're going to do whatever they can with him.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we all in agreement that Walter's winning?
Yeah.
I mean, it's very obvious Walter's winning. This will be really good, as we've been mentioning, but...
What if they swerve us and they put the belt on Tommaso to free Walter up to face Finn?
I mean, you could.
You could. It would then explain Walter's going to be U.S. bound for a while, but...
Or Walter could Brock the title and take the title back to Europe.
Yeah, and... I don't think so.
Dun, 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 dun.
I don't think that's going to be a thing.
You say that now.
I expect Thatcher to get involved and cost Tommaso... the match. So I'm going Walter. Brent, you're going?
Walter.
Lindsay, you're going?
Walter.
8-Ball, will Tommaso Ciampa win? Sources said nope.
Wow, that's just like a hard no, too. That's just like nope. Nope.
Magical Wheel of Fun?
Wrestler 2.
Ciampa.
The wheel is the one light. It's the one hope.
The wheel is saying, screw y'all.
I love me my Tommaso. I'm picking him. If it was Tommaso like 3 years ago, yeah, we got a fight on your hands, but
old man Ciampa, nah.
Because Walter, like I said, Walter's like that big guy that in the movie when you're in the bar and they're like, oh well, you need to face Walter, and the main character's like, oh, I can beat Walter with one hand tied behind my back, and then Walter walks in and you're like,
oh, that's Walter.
Well, shit, he's that dude.
Hey Chad, I got a question for you. Have you heard of Prime Gaming? It's when you link your Twitch account to your Amazon account, and it's called Prime Gaming, and you can support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen.
You are listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by MBG Films. We are previewing NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver Night 1, and let's go into the NXT Tag Team Championship match. There is really not a lot to talk about on this one. Basically, Burch and Orton had to, Tony Lorcan?
Yeah.
Had to vacate the titles due to one of them getting injured with a separated shoulder, so they did remove the titles. And your top three contenders for the NXT Championship are MSK, who are your 2021 Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic winners.
So they're healthy.
The Grizzled Young Veterans, mm-hmm. who are the runners-up. And then Legado del Fantasma.
Because reasons. So MSK is healthy, so that's good news. They've all sort of been feuding with each other, like MSK and Grizzled Young Veterans have been doing a little bit of feuding, but not much, because MSK's been hurt with broken hand, one of them was. It sucks for Danny and Oney, who had to drop the belts, because they've been really good champs for the division, but I think their time was running out anyhow, so here we are.
Sorry.
Good job, Brent.
That was my bad.
Yeah, but I think their time was running out as champs. Because I think the focus is going to be moved to Pete in that group.
Yeah.
Who wins this one? I don't think it's Del Fantasma.
No.
I think if you want the big pop, as it were, you go MSK. But if you want MSK to chase, you go Veterans.
I feel like the Grizzly Young Veterans are always the bridesmaid, never the bride type situation.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind seeing Del Fantasma win the titles, just because then you have like an Undisputed Era situation where they have the tag titles and then they have the Cruiserweight Championship, at least for 5 minutes, potentially, depending on what happens with Jordan Devlin. But that could be interesting to have both the MSK and the Grizzled Young Vets chasing Fantasma for the titles and what they're willing to do to keep it.
I guess. I don't know. I'm losing interest in Del Fantasma. It's just they're sort of like fading. They came in strong and the group is just sort of
stagnate it.
Well, this could revitalize them.
It could. I don't know. I'm just not feeling them right now.
I was going to say, to me, Phantasma, it's the same shtick all over again with them. It's always, you know, okay, you have the two henchmen who get their asses kicked, and then you've got Santos, who screwy way finds a way to win,
mm-hmm.
usually through, like, the loaded mask or whatever. And it just always feels like no matter what, there's not a foil for him
mm-hmm.
until this, you know, cocky Irish bastard came along and was just like, hi, you remember who the real champion is?
Do you remember me?
Yeah, that's a nice toy you have over there. This is the real thing.
Yeah, we'll get to that one, though.
Yeah, but it just feels like that group, there's just not a lot to it. Because, like, at least with Santos, he has kind of the, you know, the luchador background, and he's got, you know, that identity with him. The other two guys, if we remember, were kidnapped. I believe one is Filipino, right?
Yes.
One well, they're is... not necessarily lucha.
One used to be a DJ in another company.
Long live the horn. But I don't know. It just feels like the lackeys, like, I can't take them seriously in that group. And it's like, I feel like they need to break away and really kind of establish themselves again. Because with, and I can't remember what his name is here, but, you know, DJ Z. God bless you. But at least, like, he was around with that kind of introductory tournament that they did,
mm-hmm.
you know, when like Isaiah Swerve Scott also came in around that time,
mm-hmm.
and you were just starting to get a sense of who he was, and then they did the kidnap angle, and you're kind of like, oh, and now he's just this essentially nameless lackey. The Grizzled Young Vets, I think, in the same way with, like we talked about with Cameron Grimes earlier, would be good to have the belts because they would just talk shit the entire time. And
they'd be obnoxious.
They'd be obnoxious, and again, you would just be like, God, I want someone to take the belts away from them to shut them up. And you have that built in with MSK. I think they've had their big moment already in winning the Dusty Classic, which was going to give them the title shot. But I think the story for that is kind of like, ooh, they had that really good win. You know, they're the up-and-comers. They're going to face Lorcan and Birch, and then, like, maybe Lorcan and Birch beat them, and then they drop the belts to the next people. Because like you said, Rock, it felt like they were kind of running towards the end of their yeah. belt run. But at least MSK is going to, like, on this stage, they're going to be able to perform. And between them and Legado del Fantasma, holy shit, you're going to see some good moves.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a great match. So who's winning, Brent?
Like you said, if they want to pop, they can go with MSK. I still think it's a little too bit early for them. I think they need to chase a bit more before they get that moment with the belts. And they just had the kind of feel-good moment and the did-it-for-dad story. So for me, because, again, I don't think Phantasma is fully credible, I'm going to go with the GYV.
Lindsay, who you got?
I'm going to say Crystal Young Veterans.
All right. I'm going to go MSK, just to be different. Because I think they were going to win the belts here, no matter what.
No, no one's going to go with LDF?
No.
You just use the acronym for everyone?
How about the Phantasma? 8-Ball, will they win? You may rely on it. See, 8-Ball went there.
Mm.
All right, LDF.
All right, Magical Wheel of Fun.
Tag 1.
That'd be the champs. Or not the champs, MSK. My brain thinks the first, you know.
You don't have champs!
I know. My brain thinks, oh, the first team is the champs. Anyway, next match.
All right. The NXT Women's Championship. I hope to God either this or Walter and Tommaso close.
This is the main event.
This is, yeah, they announced that the women's title is the main event of night one.
Yeah. Io Shirai defending her women's championship against Raquel Gonzalez.
Io was gung-ho last night to get to Raquel.
I loved last night and the story they told with her.
I love that Io is going after Raquel. She wants Raquel.
She has unfinished business with her.
Yeah, well, this dates back to War Games when Raquel put her through a ladder, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
In a trash can.
Yeah, between the rings. Knocked, you know, pinned her. And I remember that time we were like, oh, Raquel's the next challenger. And they
took a long road to get here.
Yeah, they took a little bit of the winding road.
We had some dust in the middle, some dusty road stuff, and now we're here.
But they've done a really good job of establishing Raquel as a threat and building Raquel up into a contender for Io to the point that Io was like, fuck it, I want her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to wait for somebody to come to me. I want her.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
And that's just, I love that story. When the champion's like, you know what? I see a challenger in you. Let's go.
Well, that's why, like, last year, I loved Rhea Ripley when Charlotte had won the Royal Rumble. And Rhea just week after week came out and was just like, we're going to do this. Like, you're coming for this belt. Until finally Charlotte's like, you know what? Fine. Kay. I will take your belt then. And, I mean, it led to a good match. I still don't like the finish of that one. But it got us to the point where, yeah, Charlotte faced Rhea at Mania. Holy shit, who would have thought that was going to happen? But yeah, Io calling her shot and being like, you, big girl, I'm, you know, you're the next person in line. Eight months ago when Raquel first debuted with Dakota.
More than that, hasn't it? Been a while.
Raquel's been around, like, here and there. They've sort of dipped their toe in with her. She technically debuted in the Mae Young Classic.
No, it was the Mae Young Women's Tournament. No, it was Portland.
Takeover Portland
a year ago.
The Dakota
Tegan match.
Yeah, not the street fight, the last person standing. No, it was a street fight.
It was a street fight, yeah. It was the Portland last year before our little world shut down.
Cause yeah, she got choke slammed in or through the table.
That was a really bad move. if I remember correctly, it looked really awkward.
She basically went over the table and caught like the back part of it.
So she's been around for a year now.
Right. But when she first debuted, all she was the heavy.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't really think she was going to be the star of the group. But then you really got to see, it's like, wow, no, she's really good. And all of a sudden, Dakota is now the one in the wings.
Yeah, I mentioned this, a couple pay-per-views ago? Takeover ago? Mm-hmm. Where it's like, we've seen the switch. We've seen it went from Dakota's the star, and now Raquel is the star. They switch places. Like, it was, Sean was going to be the breakout, and now Diesel became the thing. And now, so it's like, Raquel's the Diesel in the equation. She's now the threat, which is what you want.
Yeah, but I was going to say, the one thing I loved about last night was, every time Io went after Raquel, she got, like, progressively beaten down worse.
Mm-hmm.
Until it was like she got thrown through a door or a wall or, you know, like.
Raquel's like, just stay down.
Yeah, Raquel's like, just stay away. Until the very end of the night when she comes out and pulls an Asuka just ranting. And Raquel's is like, okay, fine, I'm going to kick your ass here. And then finally, Io got the one up at the very end, which I like because it shows her resiliency, but at the same time, it shows how much it took to take Raquel down. And the question is, like, can she do that all in one match? Because this took all night.
This took all night, yeah.
She's only got a limited time frame in which to do this now.
I think Io's time's up.
But we say that seemingly every takeover, and it's never Io's time.
See, like, Rock, I'm feeling like this is the moment because you gave Raquel a belt, and then you took it right off of her for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Which was so dirty, by the way.
Well, they had to debut the women's titles. They were going to do it for the Dusty Classic, but they just weren't ready yet, so it's kind of like,
Oh my god, wait, you mean a company waited for their titles to be ready to debut them?
I know,
what a novel concept.
I mean, they could have, you know, just ordered something from somewhere and slapped something on it and been like, hey, here! But no. No, but it just felt like, because we were saying essentially, like, Raquel is ready for something. And then when they announced the women's titles, it was kind of like, okay, they're going to give her this for now until, you know, they're going to point her. And then when they dropped those belts immediately, it was just kind of like, oh, okay, she's ready now.
I feel like if they do not change the title here,
it's never going to change.
It's never going to move. It's going to be a Shayna Baszler situation with Kairi Sane and Ember Moon all over again, where they waited and they waited and they waited to move that title off of Shayna Baszler, and they waited too long on both of them to really do it. And they had to go back with multiple cracks. You have Raquel really perfectly poised to take this title. And as much as I love Io Shirai and as much of a just fantastic champion as she's been, it's time. It's time to put it on Raquel. It's time to let her have the title. And it doesn't have to be a long reign.
No.
Because you could have somebody else, especially in a very highly competitive division. It does not have to be a long reign because you have plenty of other women that are waiting in their wings ready to go, because part of the problem with Io is she's faced everybody or nearly everybody, but they have done a really good job of managing her contenders so that way she didn't run through everybody really, really quickly. But still, she's pretty much gone through everyone in the division, refreshed the title, put it on somebody new, have Io chase.
I feel like you've got two people that you can instantly point at Raquel if need be, who may be freed up here after this weekend or next week to go after that belt. You could have, you know, someone with purple hair get a little jealous and want to go after that belt.
No, that's going to be Bailey Sasha. It's going to take a minute.
And then I could throw in a selfish one.
Is she healed?
No.
I know she's not fully healed, but if you're going to want to take, you know, if you want to have a story about someone who will take the belt off of her, they do have history.
They do.
And we know the company is high on her, but it would take some build to get there. Yeah, I acknowledge that.
Yeah.
Rocky, you have to admit, that would be like the comeback story kind of thing.
It would be, but I'll put it this way. I don't know if you can trust her, how much you can trust her with it happening three times now.
I know.
That's going to be a tough road to... She's got to prove that she can stay healthy. By the way, we're talking about Tegan Nox, just for people wondering.
Yeah, Tegan Nox.
Long story short, Tegan Nox is the person we're talking about. So, like, they have such a strong women's division, and at some point, Io needs to take a step back and then maybe a step up somewhere else.
I wouldn't move Io up. She'll get the way that they're handling the women's division right now on Raw and SmackDown. She does not need to move.
She doesn't, but it won't stop them.
It won't stop them, but she needs to stay exactly where she's at. Otherwise, the exact same thing that happened to Kairi Sane will happen to her.
Well, go ahead.
She will get lost in the shuffle. She will get forgotten about, and she will just get buried. And I don't want to see that happen to her. Especially when it technically did happen to her in NXT and she reinvented herself in the heel persona or in the persona that she has now and has just had an incredible run with it. I think she's someone that could easily be a threat forever and a day in the women's division. I think you could also have other people come down from Raw and SmackDown to particularly go after Raquel.
You could.
To bring in those bigger monster type characters like a Shayna, like a Nia. Not a Rhea. You're leave Rhea where she's at.
No,
please not Nia.
I don't think you need to bring in people because you have a loaded roster. So,
oh yeah, no, you have a loaded roster, but depending on how long the run lasts, is later on down the line you could bring in people as you needed to.
So here's I'll make one pitch for Io to retain. Xia Li. Because at some point, Xia's whatever has to lead to her destroying someone and winning a championship. And I don't think she could destroy Raquel. If you want to do something with Xia, you leave it on Io and have Xia be the one to take the belt.
I think Xia is like months away. That's the problem.
It is a problem. I'm making the one case I can for Io. Keeping them out, because I think Raquel's just going to dominate and win. That's my feeling on this one. I think this is Raquel's crowning moment.
Yeah, I think they're going to pull the trigger on her. I think they're going to make her the champion. Here's the thing. If you ever wanted to do Xia versus Io, you could very easily put the title back on Io.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think also my concern with Xia is that they've been a little inconsistent in how they've handled her. They started it off really, 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 really strong, where she was just like dominating people. She was squashing people. You had Tian Sha up on stage with Boa, and you know, they were strong, they were badass, they were fierce. And then lately, they've kind of sort of haven't been like that. We had the very weird herb moment where she gave Kaden the business with the herbs and the smoke and stuff, and Kaden passed out.
The witch lady, whatever.
She got a contact high.
Yeah, and she just died.
I think that's more than a contact high. I think that was a trip. She woke up 3 days later talking to Elvis kind of thing.
She Hunter Thompsoned her?
She Hunter Thompsoned her. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it, but like, I feel like Zaya is kind of sort of being lost in the mid card right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've got her in a holding pattern because they're gonna make somebody else. And then once they make somebody else, then they will move on to Xia Li if they decide that they want to move on to her. But to me, it just feels like you had a chance when it was still being booked really, really strong to potentially put her at EO, but they didn't do it.
And you could also point Xia into the tag division too, if you need to.
Yeah, absolutely. They could adopt EO if they wanted to, although I don't want to see her get lost in a group.
No, but I was just saying you could do Xia and whatever the girl's name, Smoke Lady, and put them as a team.
Is she a wrestler?
Yep.
She is. She's Karen Q.
Yeah. She's a wrestler.
I thought she was just like...
Nope, she's an actual wrestler.
Manager, yep. Throne lady person.
No, she was supposed to wrestle last night, but they didn't do it. Anyway, Brett, who's wins?
We've said it for about two pay-per-views or two takeovers now. It really is time to pull the trigger on this because if she holds on to it any longer, it's going to turn into Asuka. And, you know, like, we don't need another 500-day reign. We don't need someone holding the division hostage for that long. They need to switch it up. They need some new blood. You just need to change scenery just a bit. So it's going to be Raquel.
Lindsay?
I feel like they've been building to this, and we've said this before plenty of times.
I've gone on record and said this is the time.
But I feel like they have built Raquel to this moment. They've done a really, really nice job with her. And getting her here, I think it would be a crying shame and a waste if they did not give her the title. So I'm going with Raquel.
I'm going with Raquel. 8-Ball, will Raquel Gonzalez win the title on Wednesday? May rely on it. All right. Magical Wheel of Fun?
Wrestler 1.
That would be your champion, Io Shirai. We now
damn it,
hit,
the wheel's going against all of us.
We now hit night 2.
Yep, that wraps up night 1 of Stand and Deliver.
Which,
so, which
reminder, we'll be live next Thursday night once Takeover ends, recapping both nights.
Oh, God.
And we will only be doing the recap. There will be no news. There will be no tweet of the week. There will be no nothing. It will just be recap.
We'll buckle down. We're going to get through it.
It's the start of our 3-night affair live.
Oh, God. 3 straight nights of recap.
No, recap, preview, recap.
You're right. I forgot Friday's the preview. Oh, Jesus.
Buckle in.
That's going to suck so hard.
Buckle
hey,
in.
Hey, it's Wrestling Christmas and Hanukkah all combined.
We don't even get Wrestling Santa. Oh, wait, we might because he's doing the Hall of Fame.
Maybe.
We might actually get Taker at the Hall of Fame. So we might get Wrestling Santa.
We'll see.
But that's Tuesday.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
We just might get him early. All right, night 2. The Women's Tag Team Championship, NXT Women's Tag Team Championship, is on the line as Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon take on Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell.
Candice has had this disappointed look on her face for weeks now at Shotzi and Ember. How dare they be the tag team champions when she should be a tag team champion? Candice,
and her daughter looks just as disappointed.
Candice really needs a belt.
For yeah,
all the work she's put in... She needs a belt.
She needs something. She needs a big win. I know she had one not too long ago, but she needs a big win. She needs a big something. Because I feel like poor Candice, and I'll say it again, is always the bridesmaid, never the bride. She's the second fiddle to Johnny. She's always been just Johnny's wife. And I feel like, honestly, Candice is a little wasted in NXT because you've had all these wonderful, great women's feuds and Candice LeRae has been a part of none of them. Please.
Would have been part of one, but the person got hurt.
Yeah. Please, God, let mom shine. Okay? Just let her shine.
Yeah, I think with this, depending upon what happens with night 1, opens up something with this match, or particularly with this match in night 2. If Raquel wins, she's gonna need some people to go after her. And not that Candice and Indy aren't people that could, but if you have Raquel with that belt, kinda want some faces to chase her. I know that Shotzi and Ember just got the belts a couple of weeks ago, but like you said, Candice needs something. She's had good matches. She was the captain of the War Games match, but Raquel was the star of that match.
She broke out in that match, yeah.
She broke out, and it's like, Candice had some moments there, but I think most people will remember, she broke her arm in that match, essentially.
Yeah, I don't think it was ever broken, but Yeah.
It was injured. Roughed up.
Yeah.
But it's like Candace, and also the fact of like, when it's come to the way, when it's come to her being a heel, she hasn't had that moment yet.
Nope.
And I think winning the titles here, and again, if something happens later in this night, I think it could be a really fun dynamic to experience with the way, if there's belts in the family, but it's not Johnny. Because now I do want him to be like, we are the tag team champions. They go full hell no on this.
Yeah.
Only if they scream, I am the tag team champions. No, I am the tag team champions.
And I also feel like you need a little bit of a payoff for all the stuff that Indy has done for her.
I think to me, I want to see the women's tag team titles move. I don't want them to be one of those titles that they just put them on it on somebody and they forget about them. Especially since they're brand new. I feel like they should be really highly and hotly contested. And you should have a bunch of really good women's tag teams, given the power in that division, being able to take it off of one person and another person and the next team and so on and so forth. Where they don't really rest until you finally get them on a tag team, maybe a few months down the line, that can hold on to them for a while. And I love Ember. And I love Shotzi. But they were put together for the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic. They're awesome together, and I'm not saying they can't stay together afterwards, but depending on, like you said, what Raquel does, or what happens with Raquel and Io, Ember Moon is a former women's champion.
Uh-huh.
She could easily go for Raquel. Shotzi was really, really hot for a while, and now she's kind of cooled off. But Shotzi's right there as one of the favorite kids, too. She, like you said, she could go for Raquel. Honestly, I think, no offense to the two of them, the way could do more with those titles than what they're currently doing with them.
If you're looking to build a competitive division, title changes should be common. You shouldn't have a team that's more dominant than the other until you have the team that is supposed to be the dominant team. Shotzi and Ember are not going to be your dominant team. They're not going to run through the division, because they shouldn't. It's just not who they are. Same with Candace and Indy. They're not going to be a dominant team, but they'll be able to get their win here, their win there. They'll sneak in and one here and there, but it won't be full-on domination. They won't be running with the belts for 6 months. Neither team should, which makes things interesting. If one team can overcome the other team, and then, boom, they switch them back and forth a little bit, there's nothing wrong with that, because guess what? Title changes like that is make talent. A la Steve Austin and The Rock. Triple H and The Rock. Trading the belt back and forth, back and forth. It makes people...
Mankind with the belt.
Yeah, it makes people with the belt when you trade it back and forth. Because they're then seen on equal footing, rather than one is better than the other. If you're on equal footing and you make it actually matter, it's done right. 50-50 booking, otherwise, no one gets over. But if you're able to book it correctly, it works.
Well, and I was going to say, you're bringing up like some of those things, and we've talked about the Attitude Era before and how, title changes happen. It doesn't need to be every other week. Mm-mm. That's also not what we're saying. But, when it was like Kane, The Undertaker, Rock, Austin, Triple H, Mankind, it made it exciting because you didn't know if you were going to see a title change or not. It made it like you had to watch it. Whereas, no offense, when Asuka had the belt, she was going into a match and you were just like, oh, buzzsaw, done, okay.
Really good matches, but Asuka was winning. Really good match, Asuka was winning.
Right, and after, it's the same thing happened with Shayna. You got to a point where you were just like, okay, she really needs to get this thing off of her so that we can just move things along. Because the second that you have someone hold a belt like that, it holds the division hostage, and you get no movement.
All right, so here's a prime example of title changes back and forth mattering, and then go to Walter. Walter is a dominator. He should always hold the belt for long periods of time. Brock Lesnar, a dominator, should hold the belt for a long period of time. That's when a long title reign works. That's the opposite point of it. It's like, when you have a monster who should be champion, they should always be the champion, because it works.
It elevates whoever beats them.
Right.
It's, they slayed the giant. Holy shit. That's why when Brock beat Taker, I'm sorry, Lindsay, when Brock did that, it's one of those kind of holy shit moments. But it's also believable because it's the Beast. If someone's going to take that down, yeah, I could totally see it being him.
So long story short, Who wins, Lindsay?
I really, really, really want to see Candace and Indy win. And that's no offense to Ember, that's no offense to Shotzi, but I just feel like they put it on Ember and they put it on Shotzi because they had other plans for Dakota and Raquel. And it's, okay, we need somebody to hold on to the titles until we're ready to move them on to the next person. And I'm completely with you that I feel like those titles should not stagnate. They should not be just where they are right now. They should move because they are brand new. You need to put credibility on them. You need to have people hold them. You need to have them move around. And for all the ridiculousness of the way, right? For all the stupidity, for all the fun, for everything that they do, Candace and Indy are a threat. Because Candace, unlike her husband, at times, plays things smart.
Mm-hmm.
She's a wily little one. And so she knows how to get the win when it matters. And I feel like Candace and Indy could very easily take it. There's another factor. I don't necessarily want to bring it up, but there is something else that we could bring up with this. Is could Dexter give the assist to Indy? They're flirting. Could Indy help Dexter night one or possibly night two and then pay returns a favor for Indy and Candace? It's a long shot, but it could happen, but that would cause tension in the family.
Johnny gets a new in-law. Oh my god.
Johnny gets a new in-law. Like, maybe Dexter doesn't win night one, or it could be that, you know, Indy costs Dexter. We don't know. But
I want that awkward family dinner now.
Dexter just sitting there staring at Johnny, Austin smiling stupidly, and Candace is like, god damn it, how did we get here?
Johnny and Dexter are just staring holes at each other. Austin's just like, he's building something out of his food. Indy is just, you know, heart eyes at Dexter, and yeah, Candace is like, oh, she's three glasses of wine in going, oh my god, why am I here right now?
But yeah, I personally want to see Indy and Candace take it. Just because I want the whole, we are the tag team champions. And Candace is like, wait, what? You didn't win this?
Honey, no.
No, what's yours is mine. So therefore, I am officially an NXT Women's Tag Team Champion.
We'll talk about this later.
Yeah. So yeah, Indy and Candace.
All right, Brent, real quick, who you got?
Yeah, it's Indy Candace winning the belts. Frees up a little bit more in the tag division, opens up Shotzi and Ember to take on Raquel. I think there's just more to it if Candace and Indy win, especially storyline-wise. Shotzi and Ember are great. They can always come back for the tag titles if need be, but I see more with the way.
I'm going Shotzi and Ember. 8-Ball, will the champions retain? 8-Ball says yes. Magical Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 1.
Which would be the champs.
All right. NXT Cruiserweight Championship ladder match with the blessing of Shawn Michaels. Jordan Devlin taking on Santos Escobar in essentially a unification match to determine the true Cruiserweight Champion. The setup for this is that Jordan Devlin won the Cruiserweight Championship way back in 2020, pre-pandemic. Then the pandemic hit and he was stuck in the UK for a year. So they had to crown a new Cruiserweight champion while Jordan was otherwise indisposed. They let him keep his title. They did not strip him of it because of the pandemic. And so here we are, a year later with Santos Escobar, still champion after winning it.
And Jordan was defending it in the UK. So
When they were running UK shows.
Well, yeah, they were running UK shows. Since they've been back on television.
But they did. They basically did not ding him for the fact that there was a global pandemic. They're like, you kind of can't defend the title because we can't run a show.
Somewhere Danny Burch is cursing.
So
yeah,
the setup to this is fantastic for all the right reasons of it's Shawn Michaels came out and he just pulled a ladder out and slid it under in the ring. And everyone knows Shawn Michaels is associated with ladder match because at WrestleMania 10, they had a unification match for the Intercontinental Champion to determine who was the true Intercontinental Champion. And it was the first ladder match they've done on pay-per-view at the time. Now we see it every so often. But this was really special back then. So using Shawn to throw back to WrestleMania 10 and what WrestleMania are we going to preview next week? 37. That's a long time ago. But it was a nice callback. Long story short, it's a nice callback. I say Jordan Devlin wins the both belts.
He unifies it.
Yeah, he unifies it. I think it's... Because I'm not a believer in Del Fantasma right now. So I'm thinking Jordan Devlin unifies the belts. Brent, who do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Devlin only because, like I said, Santos ran through the division here winning that belt. He got it. He was done with it. It was his big turn moment when he won it, and then he's kind of just gone through everyone that was going to be a contender. Now you have the true champion come out, and it's kind of like, you know, the bill comes due.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, honestly, if you're gonna put it in a ladder match, you'll see Santos, you know, pull, you know, some great lucha stuff. You'll have Jordan, you know, trying to impress Uncle Sean. But yeah, I just think in the end they were trying to move Jordan either over or they were going to have it as a bigger play in the UK. And then the pandemic hit and it kind of put everything on pause. And yeah, we've seen Legado del Fantasma with the belt the entire time.
It's not doing much for anyone.
It's not helping. And I want to see Escobar not have that. I want to see him have a setback because we've only seen him in power. We've only seen him talk about how great he is. What happens if someone comes along and does beat him? You know, does it unravel him a little? Does it push him to be like, okay, now I need to, you know, move up towards like the North American title instead? You know, does he take a step or is this just time to cool him off in general? So that being said, yeah, I think Jordan's going to win because I think they wanted to do something with him. I think he was kind of like a Finn 2.0 that they were trying to get something started with, and now they can start to pull that trigger, whether it be at the UK or move him over here and let him work with the cruiserweights that are over here.
Right, so you're going
Jordan Devlin.
Lindsay, what do you got?
I always feel like they gave Jordan Devlin the cruiserweight championship to take it back over to UK so it could be the unofficial secondary title in UK without them having to create a secondary title over there. And that's not a slight at it. It's just NXT has now multiple secondary titles in men and women's, and there's nothing wrong with that. But the one thing that has been a little disappointing about Santos's reign is how infrequently he has defended the title as champion. And we haven't, I mean, he's had some great matches when he has defended it, but it's not like it's every month on the pay-per-view he's defending the title, or every week on the TV show he's defending the title. More often than not, he's not. So really, he is just a placeholder champion, and at this point, the title is a prop. And I feel like in UK, it would not be a prop. Devlin would be able to do more with it. It makes sense to put it on Devlin. He was the original champion, and Santos got the title because they needed somebody to hold it here in the States, since Devlin could not get over. No offense to Santos. He's done a wonderful job. I feel like the group was really, really strong, but it has stagnated. And you need something to refresh it. And if they do not win the tag titles, then I say Santos loses here. And it goes back to UK with Jordan Devlin. So my pick is Jordan Devlin.
So we're all going Jordan Devlin. 8-Ball, will Devlin win the belts on Thursday? Outlook good. Magical Wheel of Fun.
Wrestler 1.
Has Jordan Devlin winning? We've kind of talked about the North American Championship when we previewed the Gauntlet Eliminator match. So it's Johnny Gargano versus the winner of that match.
This is hypothetical picks.
Yeah, we're going to make our pick based on who we think is winning. And if we want to change it, we'll tweet out our change picks. So we'll go around the horn really quick. Who wins, Brent?
I have whoever's going to win the Gauntlet match. So in my pick, it's LA Knight is your new North American Champion.
Lindsay.
I'm going to say Dexter wins.
Okay. I have Johnny Gargano retaining over Dexter Lumis.
Okay.
Magic 8-Ball, will Johnny Gargano retain his title? Magic 8-Ball, will Johnny Gargano retain his title?
It's tired. Give it a minute.
The 8-Ball is overworked. We're going to spin the wheel. There we go.
Oh, it is certain. Johnny wins.
Okay. Wrestler 2.
So it has the Gauntlet Eliminator winner.
Leon Ruff is a 2-time North American champion.
There you go.
I mean, it could be. I don't know.
Could be. All right. Now we got two big matches left as you're listening to our NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver preview here on the rack. Hey, you know you can use creator code ROCKETSTOCK in the Fortnite item shop. #ad, epic partner. It's Adam Cole, Bebe, and Kyle O'Reilly. Unsanctioned match. Lindsay, thoughts and opinions?
No, I want to skip this one and save it for last.
the co-main event is going to main event this.
No, because there's a lot of shit to unpack in that match.
Rock, to be fair, it is her show.
I don't care at this point. It's midnight. Let's go. Kyle O'Reilly, Finn Balor, Karrion Kross, NXT Championship. Lindsay, thoughts and opinions.
God, you don't have to get rude about it.
No, let's go. Let's go to the other match. Let's go.
All right. So Karrion, going after the title, he never lost because he had to give it up because he got injured. These two are going to beat the shit out of each other. Hands down, no question. I hope to God they let Finn get some offense in. I hope Finn kind of channels that demonic side of himself without actually being the demon.
Yeah, please don't bring out the demon. We don't need it. You don't have a live crowd yet. Don't bring out the demon.
At this point, he doesn't need it.
No, it doesn't. Well,
and I was going to say, I think he's basically said himself, it's like the demon's kind of dead. It was that special thing that he brought out, but it was overdone on the main roster, so he doesn't want to bring it.
He'll be back at some point, but it's not time yet.
But I mean, also his character right now doesn't need it because he kind of inhibits some of those tendencies in just being regular Finn.
Yeah, it's like the two personalities have merged into the prince, and he is who he is. And so I feel like the demon would be cool to see, but he doesn't need to do the demon to defeat Karrion Kross because he is perfectly capable of doing it on his own. The question is Karrion going to let him? And I think the answer is no. But I don't know. This is difficult to pick. Because it's like, it's Finn. They brought him back specifically to be the face of NXT, to be the champion of NXT. But then there's Karrion. And if Karrion loses to Finn, what do you do with him?
Hello, Monday Night Raw.
That is a possibility. Karrion would be someone that they covet.
Like, that's the key in all this. How much do the main roster scene Karrion Kross? To put him on Raw or SmackDown. I would move him to SmackDown so he's just, yeah, just put him on SmackDown. If you do bring him up. But
see, I think Finn introduced a very interesting wrinkle into this match when they were talking about the promos the last 2 weeks. And it was can Karrion control his, anger, his tendencies.
Yeah, his temper.
His temper. Because Finn's the kind of person that could rile him up and if Karrion's not thinking right, like Finn said, he'll carry him out into the deep water and drown his ass.
Well, sorry, go ahead.
Because Finn is the kind of person, even though he is smaller than Karrion, who is cunning enough to know and vicious enough in certain circumstances to be able to chop that kind of redwood down in a systematic way.
And it's how much of a factor will Scarlett play in the match? Because is she even going to be at ringside? Because she was identified as the weakness. And if Karrion's going for the title, he may have her walk him out to the ring and then he may send her to the back.
Oh, I have a feeling she's going to play a big factor in this match.
What would be interesting is if she tries to be his calming influence. If Karrion gets worked up and she has to be like, no, focus. Or Finn takes over. That would be an interesting thing because then it would give, I hate to say this, it would give Scarlett purpose. Because right now, she's out there and, she plays a role, but how important of a role is she?
She's the eye candy. That's her purpose right now. She's out there to basically walk him to the ring and kind of be part of his voice, part of the act. But ultimately, she does not really serve any... I hate saying this because I don't mean this in a negative way at all, but she doesn't really serve any other purpose other than that. So it would be really, really cool to see her be, like you said, the calming influence, or even because they've sort of built her up as this witch sorceress type character to see her somehow exercise her influence over Finn. And could she get control of Finn and kind of turn the tables on him a little bit?
Or what if she uses, in a way like that, what if she does something to rile Karrion up, knowing that he could take it to another gear if angry?
She sparks his fire.
Exactly. What happens if, they're outside, and kind of like what we saw in the tag match, but what if she takes a hit in the match from Finn, accidentally runs into her or something, and all of a sudden Karrion snaps and just unloads on Finn Balor.
She puts herself in the line of fire. She puts herself in danger.
Or makes it look like it, and it's all calculated. It's like...
She outsmarted Finn to set Carrion off.
Mm-hmm.
It's very possible, because she's going to be the deciding factor one way or the other in this one. Finn has been doing his best work since coming back. He's had his best matches since coming back down to NXT. It would be a shame to take the belt off of him. But as we've said this entire night, you gotta set the next stage, you gotta set the next story, you gotta switch things up. And it's the Mania weekend, you have to sort of like start anew for whatever the next 12 months are going to be, and a new direction. And Karrion's direction was unfinished since he had to give up the belt months ago, so...
Well, that's what I was going to say. Finn may have just been a happenstance champion, because Karrion could have been holding the belt this entire time, and we don't know what that storyline was going to be with him. He could have already been up on the main roster, for all we know, had he not gotten hurt. And so is this that chance to restart what was supposed to happen? Finn can drop the belt here and not take a hit at all. Because of the way he is and the way he's defended that belt and the character that he has. Plus, if you lose to Karrion, that is not, you know, a hang your head kind of thing. That is, you just ran into a juggernaut.
And Finn is always a little bit better, although it's kind of like really, really close, when he chases. So you have Finn trying to once again regain the title that he's held, that he was confident in. And can he take down Karrion and Scarlett? Because maybe, just maybe, he underestimates them a little bit, because we talked about cunning, and Scarlett is cunning. Scarlett and Karrion are the brains together, but she's definitely guiding the act and the way that it's presented in the whole thing. So it's like she's smart enough, as you said, to outsmart Finn Balor. The question is, can Finn outsmart her?
Don't think Finn can. I think Karrion and Scarlett have the edge over him. I just hope like they can find a program for Finn to sink his teeth in once the belt is off of him. I want them to find him somebody to push him. Because that's going to be where he's headed when he loses the belt. Like, we've seen him float around when he doesn't have a championship. We need to keep him motivated. So, I don't know who you throw at him next, but he needs a program that he can get his teeth sunk into going forward.
Pete?
I feel like Pete needs... If you're going to do Pete Balor, it's got to be for the belt.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And we have that match? Yeah, we had that match.
And it was really good.
The
really
finger good. Stomps and all of that. Just the last event.
Yeah. I feel like Finn needs that story to like drive him, keep him motivated going forward. Because I think Karrion's walking out here with the belt.
So the question is, Rock, who is that next one? Is it Walter?
I mean, they never did do Finn versus Walter. And if Walter's going to be here in the States.
I don't...
And he has his own championship. Finn could say, I want the, you know... I've had this, but man, it might be nice to go home for a little bit.
I don't think it's going to be Walter. I mean, it could, but I don't think Walter's here for a long term, and I don't think Finn's going over to work Walter just yet, just because of travel and everything. Maybe later in the summer, yeah, but right now, no. I don't know who you throw Finn at. I don't know. You got enough talent there to find something for him. I just hope they find something good for him. All that said, who's winning the title? Take over, Lindsay.
Brett, who do you think's winning?
Tick tock.
All right. Rock?
I like how I throw it to you, then you throw it to him, and then you're throwing it back to me, and I throw it back to you.
And that's how we invented the Frisbee.
I'm carrying crosses, winning the title. I'll take over.
I have to agree. I think it's set up for Karrion to win. Either way, it will be a really fantastic match, and they will try to kill each other. But yeah, it's all pointing and all kind of set up for Karrion to win the title.
Magic. If Finn does win, mm-hmm. I don't think we'll be disappointed at all, though.
No.
Nope.
No. Magic 8-Ball.
This is hard to pick.
Yeah. Magic 8-Ball. Finn retaining?
Nope.
Okay.
Wheel?
Wrestler 2.
No one has any.
That's a clean sweep.
No one
Jesus.
Has any.
Okay. Are Finn Balor's days numbered? Let's find out. All right, and last but certainly not least, the unsanctioned match where Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly will commit no less than 10 felonies against each other. This is the culmination of the two already previously trying to kill each other multiple times. with cars and jujitsu and everything else.
Police have been involved.
Police have been involved. William Regal is pissed.
Yeah.
He's had enough of their shit. So he's basically telling them, yes, you can come and you can try to kill each other, but, you know, sign this first so you can't sue us later. This is obviously a result of the breakup of Undisputed Era, where Adam Cole kicked Kyle O'Reilly in the face, breaking up the group and dissolving the group. And Kyle did not get Roderick in the divorce, by the way. Neither did Adam. Roderick's off doing his own thing.
No one got Roderick in the divorce.
Roderick has gone home.
The promo package that they put together to send this home last on NXT last night was just phenomenal. You didn't see it, go watch it. It's really, really good. It's a wonderful review of the story thus far. And they did it in the old school style of they're doing a sit down interview, like almost like police interview kind of thing. Like they're in an interrogation room. It's just, and they're talking. And they're splicing in the story so far. I loved it. I thought it was great. It was exactly how you needed to do this.
Every time they've done the prime target, it has just been gold. And the case is the same with this. It's just, there's so much that's built in that we haven't seen before because it's years and years on the independent scene and in Ring of Honor and in other places. But God, they've made this feel like it's such a huge deal just with the things they put on TV here.
Yeah, and I love that they went back and they talked about how long Adam and Kyle have known each other, how they followed each other throughout their careers, how they've been friends throughout their careers, how all of this is leading to this one moment where Adam, in a moment of selfishness, decided to pick himself over his friends, and he kicked Kyle in the face, and Kyle was like, no, sir, I don't fucking think so.
Because Adam Cole will not take a back seat to anyone, even his best friends, because he has the ego to the point where it's all about him.
Just essentially saying Kyle is a lapdog during this whole thing. Just saying that alone, you're like, oh God, Kyle's gonna kill him for that. Like, legitimately kill him for that.
I still want, after this is over, Bobby Fish to just walk back in and be like, what the fuck happened while I was gone?
Was this all,
you know,
was
how
this
the guy walks in the flaming room with the pizzas?
Yeah.
Was this all, Donald Glover.
Was this all a dream? What happened?
I just want Bobby Fish to do that, where he's like, did I miss something?
Five minutes! I've been gone for 5 minutes! And I can't leave any of you guys unsupervised. What the hell?
God damn it, guys.
This set up for Kyle to get his revenge. This is all earmarked. Kyle O'Reilly beats the crap out of Adam Cole. That's what the story is telling you. I don't think it's going to go that way. I think Adam Cole figures out a way to avoid that one big move from Kyle and beat Kyle.
I think the question here is, can Kyle be calculating enough to take down Adam, or is he going to have that moment of hesitation where it's ultimately, this is still my best friend. This is the guy that I've known for what, 10, 15 years, that I've traveled the roads with, that we have all these memories with, that we've shared all these things together. And yes, he's hurt me, but can I do that to him? Can I hurt him back? And I think that's what it might come down to, is Kyle going to hesitate? Is he going to stop for just 1 second and think about it, think about what he's getting ready to do? And in that 1 second, Adam takes advantage. Because that's the one thing about Adam, that it's like, it doesn't matter about the history. He's going to find a way to get out of what he's in, and he's going to find a way to win.
I don't think Kyle hesitates, because based on what they did a couple weeks ago when Kyle returned, he never hesitated.
See, I was going to say, the thing with me, the hesitation works for someone like Johnny, like Tegan, when they had those moments against their best friend. Because that's what we always talked about in their matches, was, do they have that killer instinct to be able to do it? And the answer was always no. Like, Johnny had those moments where it was like, he had Tommaso on the ropes, he got fired up looking at the ring that Tommaso, like, spit on and threw into the crowd. But he didn't have that absolute vengeance to be able to finish him off. Kyle has that in him because of the way that he was stabbed in the back by Adam. And because you're trying to build Kyle as one of your big faces of the company, I think that's what, you know, the Finn matches were. You're trying to elevate him. I think if the moment came, he would absolutely, you know, he would put the chair in front of Adam Cole and kick the ever living hell out of it.
So I'll throw it back to an older story, and because he works there, Sean and Hunter, when Sean came back in 2002, and they had their street fight, Sean didn't hesitate.
No, Sean left him a bloody fucking mess.
Yeah.
But that's Sean.
But that,
right?
But that's the story.
Kyle has that mentality. Yeah. Is the thing. As opposed to a Johnny.
Like, there was no emotion in it. It was, I'm going to get revenge. You tried to take me out for good. You hit me. You threw me into a car back in 2002. And Sean went right after Hunter. Just like Kyle's been going right after Adam. There is no hesitation in it. It's going to be a brutal battle. It's up to Adam to figure out a way to, I guess, counter Kyle's emotion.
Well, and I think the whole storyline about this from Kyle's aspect is it's proving that, you know, sure, Adam Cole was the face of the Undisputed Era, but he wasn't the Undisputed Era. It was everyone. And, you know, Kyle is proving that he belongs there in the same discussion. Whereas for Adam, it's putting the foot to the throat and telling him, get back in line.
You have to wonder, is this the one-off, or is there going to be more to the story?
Well, and the question also is, we did see someone walk out, but does Roddy happen to make an appearance here?
I don't think so.
No,
because he told them both basically to F off.
Yeah, I think Roddy, they're going to take Roddy off TV and figure out a new direction for him.
I was just trying to figure out if it was, he's telling them both to F off, if he comes out and just at one point lays them both out and it's like, you know, that's the full visual of like, I'm done with you both.
I mean, he could. It's possible. I think that may take away from this first encounter.
I feel like this should be the two of them. Because this is basically the Shield 2.0, right? And this is where they're going for Seth and Roman first. As opposed to skipping over Seth and Roman, saving it for later, and going to Seth and Dean. Which was equally as good, but it got a little convoluted. This is, they're going for Kyle and Adam. They're going to give them an unsanctioned match where they can just kill each other. You don't need to put Roddy or Bobby in the mix just yet. This is going to continue. I don't know if it's going to continue right away, but this story is going to continue to intertwine, because this is going to be another Johnny Tommaso situation where they can always come back to this if they need to. But it could be for right now that they're going to beat the hell out of each other, somebody's going to prove their point, and then they're going to move on. Or they're not. If Adam wins, Adam's going to have to win by potentially nefarious means to do it, which leads to another match, possibly. But it's unsanctioned, so Regal could be like, yeah, no, you had your shot, and you lost. Move on. Till he's forced to make another match.
We'll have to see.
We'll have to see. So, all right, Rock, who are you taking?
Adam Cole, Bebe.
Brent?
Someone's going to be air guitaring at the end of that match, and it's not going to be Adam Cole. I think there's more that you can do if Kyle wins, because I think it gives him something to hold over Adam's head. I think if Adam wins, it just proves that Kyle isn't there yet. If Kyle wins, then Adam, in a maniacal way, it proves that he maybe wasn't the top dog, and now he has to prove himself.
I'm kind of thinking Kyle wins, because if Adam wins, then it's over and it's done and there's nothing else to prove. If Kyle wins, it's going to push Adam. It's going to push them both. And I think that's what Adam needs, is someone to push him, someone to basically irritate him and put him in that situation of, no, I know I can beat you. You sit the fuck down and watch this. And I feel like that's where it's going to go. So I'm going to take Kyle.
Magic 8-Ball, does Kyle O'Reilly beat Adam Cole? Outlook not so good.
Treacherous 4.
Wheel?
Wrestler 2.
Kyle.
Okay.
All right. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, we are done.
An hour and 50 minutes.
I told y'all it was going to go long. Y'all didn't believe me, but I told you. And we didn't even preview everything. We just picked some stuff. Be well, here all night if we had to pick everything.
Well, we did preview everything. Brent likes to talk. Anyway.
Anyway, you got stuff to plug, so plug away.
Saturday night, midnight, another edition of CB Radio. We're going to have a Greater than Great debate based on startup baseball. Tune in for that. Midnight-ish, CBRadioLive.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. I think we're doing WrestleMania picks, maybe. I guess we have to.
Yeah,
at least one Saturday. Night. At least one Maybe. Night. We'll do one night. Okay. Russell Talk Radio will preview WrestleMania this Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern. Wall Pro Show, 11 p.m. Eastern this Monday night. We'll be back Thursday night, right after NXT TakeOver, 10-ish, to recap everything that goes down on both nights of NXT TakeOver. Stand and deliver. A week from tomorrow, we'll be live with our WrestleMania preview following SmackDown. Then we'll be live the night after or day one of WrestleMania to review it all. You can also check out the Rack Extra Reviews, the WWE Superstar Handbook, now available. You can check out the Rack Extra Reviews, the new Dr. Disrespect book, Violence, Speed, Momentum, both available now. Coming soon, the Rack Extra Reviews, Ms. and Mrs. Rack Radio Show on all social media platforms, along with every podcasting platform as well, wherever you get your podcast, just search the Rack Radio Show. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have Amazon Prime, you can link to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming, and you can support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use creator code ROCKINSOCK at Fortnite Item Shop or Epic Game Store, because we're a hashtag Epic Partner. Get all your bunny skins. Brent.
Well, if you want to find me on the internet, you can find me on Twitter at King Kittens or a couple of different shows here on the network. CB Radio, CB Radio Not So Live after AEW stuff, and Fortnite with Friends.
Which programming note as mentioned, we'll have one Saturday, but that will be the last one until the 17th.
And you can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsward, LNSWRD. Everybody, don't forget to check out our very fine sponsor, MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward, and for Brent, sorry, almost forgot Brent. So for Rock, for Brent, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will see you soon for WrestleMania. Till then, bye.
WildTalkRadio.com.